only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's taking it personally. We just need to cut this shit because I know that my guest is ready to go. I am goddamn ready to go. It's like I'm ready to just like full on attack. So I'm so excited to be joined by one of my favorite guests. You know him as a New York Times bestselling author who has written three incredible books. I own and love the trilogy. His latest is I Finally Bought Some Jordans, which was released this spring. Couldn't more highly recommend. Welcome back to Taking It Personally, Michael Arsenault. Michael, how are we?
Hi, Sarah. I'm trying not to come in too hot about VPR. I feel away. I don't know where to begin, but I will follow your lead, but I feel many things.
Well, if we're both following my lead, we're in for a little bit of trouble because we were just talking about this for a sec before we started recording, but I recorded this like monologue. I mean, I guess it's some might call it an episode of Tip because I just had like three things that I was trying to work out internally about VPR. And I felt pretty good after, you know, publishing the episode. And now, hours later, I'm kind of like starting over at square one. So I'm so genuinely curious for your thoughts because to me, it was a complicated first episode of the reunion. What was your reaction in watching the first episode of the reunion?
Honestly, kind of pissed, and it reminded me of why the season for me had been a struggle to watch up until the very last part of the season finale, because I think the problem with the show now is like I'm glad they're taking a break, but so much of the show to me now is about the subtext that's unspoken. So literally it was until the very last few minutes where I'm like, oh, these are the issues. But then watching Lala of all people pop off the way she did, Lisa Vanderpump, even some of Andy's questions, the crying about Brock. I have many thoughts. Like, I agree with, because I listened to your monologue episode. I wish they had started with playing the last few minutes of the finale, because I think that would have changed the trajectory of the reunion for the better. But yeah, I'm really pissed at Lala.
I feel like the reason that they didn't start the reunion with that finale reveal is because it would have made things too complicated, honestly. And I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. I don't know that for Jeremiah, because it felt like, and I know people often like blame production. And of course, there are circumstances where production should be blamed or held accountable for certain narrative plot devices. I think of a lot of really gross stuff on Beverly Hills, for example. But with this, I kind of feel like there was no way for Jeremiah to do that because his course of action, the top priority was getting quote unquote nuance and pushback about Ariana before it was Tom. And if they had started with that reveal, people would have forgotten to hate Ariana on that stage and thought to themselves strategically, we need to go after Tom. And I feel like that's why it didn't happen, because there's a level of favoritism I think everybody has, but it seems obvious to me who the show is currently favoring.
I agree with that, but that's actually, I blame production for why I didn't enjoy this season as much. I thought the second half was much better than the first, but clearly most of the cast and definitely production wanted to make Ariana look a certain way. And so I will say this to give Lala and Sheen, well, both of them some degree of grace. I do think when Ariana initially said, even though that was a natural reaction, anyone that talks to him, I don't fuck with. But ultimately, she did film with him within her limits. I do think for the sake of the audience, and I don't know, while I understand she's very busy, her job, I do think it would have been better if Ariana actually watched the episodes, some of them at least. I do think that would have just, it is your job ultimately, like it is your main job. So I do think you could have spent maybe a weekend to watch. Having said that, I really don't like that so much of the burden has been placed on Ariana in an impossible situation. I have resented for the most part, because the thing about her staying in that house, which Lisa Vanderpump kept bringing up and she keeps bringing up, that felt more like to me, well, one, if I'm not mistaken, she said at the time that Scandalball blew up, she only had $2,200 in her account. I don't know if people know, I mean, the rent is high everywhere, but like in Los Angeles, even in the Valley, you can't just jump from place, especially if you only have that much money that you're working with. Two, also felt like, isn't that not a legal situation? Because it's even dicier, the fact that they're not married and he was clearly trying to claim the house. I think that was just such a complicated situation that she deserved a lot more grace about, in the same way she, I didn't like that. But just the fact that it's so focused on trying to redeem Tom Sandoval, who is, I mean, I won't say, I would like to believe a new day gives everyone an opportunity to change. But when you're that stuck in your ways, you are irredeemable. And that is such an obnoxious, arrogant, entitled, honestly, 40-something-year-old spoiled brat who's been catered to this entire season. And those last few minutes is what I felt about him the entire time. I'm like, he's not sorry. I just, between the defense, I'm like, all the things he said about the women. Also, the show is so fucking misogynistic. Even from Vanderpump, like, it's so male identifying. I'm like, why are you all catering to these men this way? Like, and Andy saying at one point, which I heard he took back, but I listened to, like, that didn't make any sense. Brock and Lala are not the voice of reason. I'm like, yeah, if you're speaking from the network and you're on production side of trying to vilify Ariana, sure, that's the voice of reason. But to most of the viewers, that wasn't it. So yeah, I don't feel like people have been very fair to Ariana in a difficult situation. And while I do think, again, Lala is right, because she even said something to, I think, Sandoval about that stupid NYT interview he did, where she's like, for the sake of the show. I'm like, so much about this is for the sake of the show. I wish they would all get to the point where they could just say that on camera. Because that's why I enjoyed the last few minutes. I'm like, that's why y'all are mad at her. Y'all think she's ruining the show by not wanting to play the game the way you all are used to playing it.
That's such a good point, because obviously what we're seeing, especially with Lala during the reunion, is someone bursting through the fourth wall, obviously with full permission of production and of the EP to be like, this is what you said to me on calls before we started filming. But she's not bursting through the fourth wall with what her intentions are with this. Like, exactly as you're saying, she's dropping these little nuggets of, I want to keep my job. And I get that. Because she's constantly reminding us that she considers her work and her value to be at a greater point than Katie's, because Katie's restaurant hasn't yet opened, which is, to me, an odd way to argue. Like, at the end of the day, you have a thriving business because you have your podcast and your makeup line, everything else, but also you sold a fucking ton of merch because of Ariana, because of the scandal.
Yes.
It, to me, it just kind of feels like, babe, like, at the end of the day, like, the sandwich shop is destined for greatness. We've all known it was going to be successful. It rises to such a huge, huge, huge level because Ariana is a co-owner. With that, I'm sure, comes burden. I'm sure that there's stuff that Katie has to do that Ariana does not. But also, that's what happens when you are kind of in business with someone and they blow up. You know, like, a lot of this happened after, obviously, they had agreed to work together. But I just feel like with Lala, some of her arguments are so based in quote unquote truth telling and getting to the nitty gritty of the show. But she's really not, because I think, honestly, that she's being dishonest with some of her arguments here, and everyone else is embracing it. Sheena, obviously, there was some sort of conversation, or maybe it's just because they're very close. Obviously, there was strategy between the two of them of, these are the things that we're going to reveal on the reunion. Obviously, there's some stuff with LVP. Andy, I don't begrudge him for a lot of this. He's the voice of production. He's the literal host of the reunion here. And maybe he wants some nuance there, too. Like, people are concerned about what the future of the show will be if Sandoval is continued to get shit on. And I just think they didn't use their imagination enough.
No, because they're stuck in a very particular way of how they think the show is done. And honestly, all of them are motivated by their gendered sexist biases. Some of those women included. And Lala is full of shit. Miss I walk in honest. No, you don't. I agree with you. Like, if the same way they roll the tape with Tom, they should have rolled the tape several times with her. You do not live in honesty. Like, look, I am genuinely sorry about what you went through with Randall. He gives scammer. Those are various forms of abuse. She did not get the same reception that Ariana got. I do think it's a different context for a lot of things. Ariana was on the show. Like, but most of that, to be honest, is just her being jealous, and it's motivated by jealousy. And I find her to be respectfully ungrateful, because you put down a down payment on a home in Palm Springs, in the state of California. You made enough money selling sweatshirts based on her pain that you were able to put a down payment on a home, and you're screaming down her throat behind her back for most of the time. And I guess apparently we're going to see it now about how she doesn't want to be honest about this or how she doesn't want to do this. Meanwhile, there are several instances in years past where you didn't want to say anything about what was going on with you. I did not like her when she first joined the show, but I did warm to her. I didn't like her because she came on with that faux black scent, with the black girl aesthetic, me, and then talking to somebody in the studio, my brother. She, like Lauren from Utah. And if you're so honest, I would love to hear what happened with Faith and the accusation that you pulled out a knife on her, because if Jackson, all them could have been fired, you should have been too, but you're still there. But I just feel like if she would have been more honest about the fact that, like, I feel a way that I'm being treated differently, and she actually told that to Ariana, I do think Ariana would have engaged with her in that. Like, I can't fix that, but I hear you. The thing with Katie, honestly, a friend venting to you and maybe a producer and not wanting to be in that place later doesn't make her a phony. It just means she changed her mind. And to be honest, I can't imagine what Ariana was dealing with at the time, even if things professionally were picking up. So maybe she didn't want to build, like, add extra burden to her. And then when she did go talk to her, as they said, they talked it out. That's very reasonable. I don't feel like that. I mean, Katie stumbled in that moment and that didn't look great for her. But I just think the crux of Lala's argument was a crock. Like, you're jealous, you're mad. And this is what I didn't like you in the beginning, because you came onto the show kind of like, I'm going to be Queen B and I'm taking over. Like, you talked a lot of shit and that hasn't happened. And meanwhile, Ariana, who really was never the main draw of the show, is unfortunately, fortunately, her pain is what rebirthed the series. I still think they should have lined up behind her like the Spice Girls, forced that man to either be on an island by himself or force him to actually get real help, because he's so unrepentant. And honestly, Jax, not to jump, is an asshole, but he's a much more entertaining asshole than Sandoval is, who just literally screams and berates at women. The same thing with Brock trying to gaslight Ariana and Katie about how they treat them. I loved when Katie brought up male rage. I just think it's such... Lala is full of shit. I just end on that. But, like, I just think she's full of shit. She's being very dishonest about her intentions when she brings up the stuff with Katie. She's not being forthright about what her actual grievance is. And she's so worried about saving the show that she's not actually, to me, helping save it by acting like this. Like, you've turned off a lot of the viewers. And while you can limit your comments on IG, talk your little shit in the IG lives, the reality is that your empire and your job on the show is based on the audience liking you to some extent, because you being a villain isn't that entertaining either. You just sound mad and jealous, and it's not great to watch. Like, I hope, you know, her pregnancy is great. Her talking about a mom can be, being a mom is endearing, but a lot of this is just her seething with jealousy and hypocrisy, and I don't find it that great to watch.
And the reality is there is a soft girl era that could occur. We're seeing it done very successfully right now on Summer House. I just watched the newest episode right before we started recording, and the way that Paige and Sierra have advocated for Amanda and had a lot of empathy for Lindsay, someone who they previously have had some shit with, is exactly the example of what a quote-unquote soft girl era to me means. It's like, it's not about losing the ability to express feelings, which include anger and rage. Although I think that's what Lala's interpretation of it is. Like, Lala uses soft girl era, quote unquote, to tell Ariana to calm down, versus the soft girl era on Summer House, where they're not saying don't be angry. They're saying, I feel empathy for you and I'm here for you. And if you have a problem discussing something with your partner, I'm going to stand up in your place and be a friend. That to me is my interpretation of a, which I've never used the term soft girl in my life. Like, I don't even use softener in the laundry. Like, that's just not my journey. And maybe I should. I mean, spoiler alert. But with this whole, like, soft girl personification, it's used in such a strange way. Because if Lala has to keep shouting that she's in her soft girl era, what is that telling us about what soft actually means?
Lala is reminding me of terrible men who go to therapy and use therapy speak to further gaslight people they're in relationships with. I did not come into this season wanting to not like her, but so much of what seems to drive her is, I mean, the thing with Sheena is that she very much is self-centered, and bless her heart, it all kind of goes through self. I don't think Lala is that different, to be honest, because even now I think about it, like the raging at Raquel, if you were really doing that on behalf of your friend, I just would think you'd be more sympathetic, I don't know, 3 months after all that happened and y'all are filming already again. But so much of it is, it just seems like she was so worried about the future of the show that she lost her shit. And in a way, kind of just not only betrayed her friend, but just did a disservice. And again, like, I agree with you. If you have to keep reminding people how soft you are and what era you're in, you're not really in it. And you should also let us tell you that rather than you repeat it, because it's not, most of what she's saying is not coming off the way she thinks in her mind. It comes off, honestly, from a real place of arrogance too, which is just, I mean, ego usually is not a common trait on the show, but it just, everything about her delivery and how she's moved has been such a turnoff to the point, like, I'm not excited to see her and I don't want her on my valley. I don't want her on there. Like, stay away.
They need to stay. We need, we're watching some sort of medicinal weekend retreat ego death happen on the valley. We don't need to see soft girl era cross over to that. And I also think, I can't stop saying soft girl era. I think it's very funny. Mm-hmm. Like, when it comes to soft girl era, the thing that I find really fascinating in watching part one of the reunion 1,936 times is when Lala and Katie are having their argument over what Katie may have been saying about Ariana and how that might have affected her behavior over the course of the season or not. And Lala is saying something along the lines of, like, well, Ariana, if I would have wanted someone to take my advice, if I had heard someone say to me at the peak of me, you know, losing my mind about Rand, if someone had just sat me down and said, this is what's going to happen in the next couple months, like, you're hoping too much of friends who are going to sort of prove you wrong if you're using a scale of perfection when it comes to friendship and support. Like, the way that Lala expresses what she believes that she was doing during the season of offering Ariana advice, I'm using that in quotes, and the way that she describes it on the reunion, I find really fascinating, because that's kind of the thing with offering someone advice. Like, I've experienced this with people in my life very recently as well, including very recently, of like, I'm offering you advice, and if you don't take it, you've done something wrong to me. Versus, you can share your experience, but are you listening to that person's response with empathy? Ariana might not be interested in processing at like 3.5 speed. What Lala is trying to tell her is, you can skip ahead, but not everyone wants to do that. And Lala takes Ariana's sort of defiance of that in her own internal processing as an insult. And it's like, first off, not everybody would want to hear that advice, number one. Number two, we have no idea how you would have experienced that, because you have the benefit of living through it. So we don't actually know if someone knocked on your door and said, I have advice, whether or not you would be capable of listening. And that's not a critique. That's just the reality of, like, you're imagining that you would have responded to something knowing what you know now. The whole point of it is you don't know, because you didn't have that information then. And Ariana has the right to listen to it if she wants to and disagree with it if she doesn't. But she's not doing anything wrong if she decides not to go down that path. And so much of this is set up with a, like, she should have known to take my advice, or because I would have liked it, everyone should. And it's just, we're just not playing by Lala's reality and Lala's reality alone, especially because it quite literally wasn't hers when the Rand stuff went down.
Lala, you are not the sun. I agree completely. Like, First of all, I don't know her personally, but from what I've seen season after season, I highly doubt she would have been so warm to advice from her friends. She doesn't strike me. She hasn't never struck me as someone that receptive, at least not when she's initially fuming. I just distinctly remember her yelling at people who spoke against something that she didn't like. Also, like you said, like Ariana has the right to react to something that happened to her. However she chooses to, based on her own timetable, you cannot tell someone how to feel. You cannot instill your experience and expect them to take it the same way. Like, everyone isn't you, Lala. Like, we're not all you. Like, no, she's, and a friend, a real friend would understand that. But Lala, again, is just so self-involved and she's blinded by her own interests and worries about the future of her empire and job on the show. You're trying to rush along something that just isn't natural. And it would have been much more interesting instead of her trying to force that on her to just let Ariana be and let's see what the camera crew will get while y'all are filming. I do understand, but I just feel like she's so motivated by her own self-interest that she failed her friend. And again, she failed the show that she's so worried about. It was not enjoyable to watch her just yelling at people and telling people what they think, how they should feel, because she literally does not live by the example herself.
I mean, I know I've experienced this in my life, and certainly I've been on the other side of things too, but it's like a person can have a very narrow view of what friendship is. You've decided, because of however many years of friendship or whatever experiences you've gone through or not, or maybe it's just the friendship of being on this show together, which can certainly bond a person, that you have an idea of your level of friendship. And maybe, again, that's based on things past, but that doesn't mean, that's not going to define the quality of friend that you are now. If someone is coming to you in a point of crisis and they're behaving in a way that maybe you don't agree with or maybe you wouldn't experience now, if you're incapable of listening and supporting them and just being there, if you're incapable of doing that, then I would argue that you really need to reexamine what kind of friend you are. That, like, your version of friendship can not only exist when you feel comfortable and secure, it can also exist in other spaces too. Like, are you strong enough to actively listen? And I've experienced that. Certainly, I've been on both sides of it. But I just think growing and going through things and just being further along in life, which is a miracle since every year I become younger and younger than the year before, it can, but doesn't always require just a little bit of a rethink of, like, who is in my life? How are they responding to things? And who is really there to just be there and be with me in the kind of support that my behaviors are defining? Like, go off of how I am thinking and how I am feeling, and can you recalibrate to that? Not to say you need to, but then don't say that you're a better version of a friend.
Exactly. And also, even if Ariana isn't receiving the advice the way Lala would want, does that give you permission to, throughout the season, take all these side shots at your friend, not even just in the confessionals, in real time? I just, again, like, I agree, we all have our definition of friendship, but I also think, like, you're taking too many shots at somebody you supposedly care about, the person that you were going to bat for at the very last reunion. You're taking shots at her this entire season. It makes me think, what's really motivating you? It's not friendship. It's not wanting to see her better. It's you just being mad that the light is on her and not you, among other things. But I just, yeah, it was frustrating to watch. Also, you are the Mariah Carey of podcasting. You don't age.
You know, we have the same birthday, or rather anniversary. Mariah and I are both March 27, 2004. And I love that journey for us.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from Housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's fine hair and conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code ANDY for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code ANDY. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that.
So thank you for that. It's hard for me to get out of the space of being stuck inside of Lala's reasoning or lack thereof, because I do also think she presents it really well. Like, there's a way that she says things where I get stuck on it. I'm like, some of this is to me reasonable, some of it makes sense, but then I think of her behavior in real time when she's going on a fucking press tour saying that Ariana is the most egotistical person she's ever met, worse than Sandoval, and then I'm watching her on the reunion couch and I'm like, sweetie, did that just happen as of part three of the reunion? Now you think she's full of shit? Or like, when did that set in? Because if you are saying that Katie is the one who's acting, then Katie is fucking method, because the way that Lala has been reacting to maybe a little bit of embarrassment or humiliation or not killing it, according to maybe one or two members of the cast, has been so overblown that it doesn't make sense. It feels like the Lala we're seeing at the reunion is such a different Lala than the person we've seen in confessionals. She's just really fucking fortunate that Ariana decided not to watch.
She really is. I mean, I do think if she hadn't argued the way she had in the show, et cetera, I do think some of Lala's potential point, like, this is a show, we have to do our work. You will sink the show if you don't, because the show is sinking before all of this. I get that. But it's everything you said. And to be honest, she has more traits with Sandoval than anyone, but she's good at projection, which she admitted. I just wish she had more levels of introspection so she could see exactly what she is projecting and onto whom. Katie is Meryl Streep, as far as I'm concerned, at that. Like, she's acting. I feel like Katie's been the only one that's been a good friend to Ariana and James, who is actually, oddly, the voice of reason. He's basically Stewie from Family Guy to me, but... I will say I have a little hope for Sheena, even if it's just her living in the comment section. Okay, because I understand on the level of, look, the pandemic hit, she broke, this man doesn't work, she needs some money, he helped her. You remember who helps you at your lowest, even if you're several years deep in fame. I understand that. At the same time, I'm like, look how ready he was to throw a scarlet letter at you the minute you stepped out of line. I will say one thing that I think maybe they could have said, but they didn't, is that, you know, in years past, Ariana did help clean up Sandoval's image, because he's been on the same wave this entire time and it happened to her. And that doesn't make it right at all. I'm not excusing in any way. But I will say, in her critique that Ariana and Sandoval have been faking it, it just wasn't really because she faked it herself. I was like, what do you mean, Lala? But I think maybe that could have been a reasonable critique in some way. But like, you helped make this monster yourself, which I think Ariana to me acts like someone who you can tell throughout the season has a good therapist and listen to whoever is advising her. Her anger is still there, which she has every right to have, but there is a real shift. With Sheena, I can understand being caught in a hard place, but ultimately I'm like, Ariana is your friend. And even Sheena is taking these little knocks at her. I just truly think between Lala, Sheena, a lot of the cast and production and the network, I'm like, you all are very detached and deluded from how most people are, just regular folk, are watching this. Like, you all really thought y'all hit a lick with this redeem Sandoval thing and that we're all going to turn against her. I'm like, what planet do you all live on? Like, have y'all known him that long where you think this was the play? It doesn't make sense to me. But I do think Sheena, if for no other reason than she's in the comments, she knows. And at least I feel like she has. I haven't heard anything recently about her taking shots at Ariana. She's seen, I don't even say backpedal, I think she's just been quieter about it, which I think is better. Because I would like to see them still be friends. They seem to have a real friendship, but there's a lot of stuff Sheena has to like confess and be honest with her friend about, because I would feel away.
She said on her podcast recently that she essentially hasn't heard from Tom or Ariana recently, which LOL.
I'm not her Tom.
I know. It's like, spoiler alert, Trina, we knew that was going to happen. And I also think this is what happens when you spend a lot of time with Lala, which you fall into this trap. And I don't mean this comparison. Okay, this just occurred to me. I don't mean it as I say it out loud. But it feels, again, I don't mean it. Okay, but I'm still going to say it. And I'm still going to maybe define it in some way. Some of what Lala and by association and action Sheena are doing is a little reminiscent in vibes of what came over Jill Zarin before season 3 started filming when she said to Andy, I have a really good storyline this season. Bethany and I fell out. And Andy's reaction was like, that's not a good idea. And Jill went, she tripled down and went all in. And spoiler alert, it didn't work out in her favor. The major difference here, in addition to 18 other differences, is that imagine if Andy had said, that's a great idea. Or imagine if Andy said, if Andy started by calling and saying, let's discuss what you want to do this season. That feels like where Jeremiah fits into this, is that he, you know, they're responding. They don't want season 11 to be season 10. They do want there to be some nuance and some pushback. And maybe the easiest way of going about that is attacking or sort of breaking down the adulation that Ariana received instead of staying in the Sandoval mix. And that was just, I think, a poor decision on their part. And I also wonder what would have happened if they had filmed the reunion closer to the end of the season. They filmed it, to me, way too soon. I don't know if that had something to do with scheduling. I don't know if that had something to do with Ariana's schedule and like all this stuff she has cooking. But I don't think it helped anyone that we are coming to this too early. I think they should have heard a little bit more of audience response. Although, maybe, Jeremiah, it seems to be that they may have heard a little something and decided to continue going full steam ahead.
I love your Jill bless her heart. She really blew it with that and continue to until the very end. No, I see that. And yeah, that producer, like, even when I heard him, like, Ariana, please. And I like, no, you're really blaming her in this moment because she doesn't want to talk to the lizard. Like, are you serious? I was like, why? And then to goaded them into all kind of trashing her. I'm like, I get that's their EP. They trust their producer, but literally, I mean, this is the detachment I speak of. Like, you all could not. How could you all have thought this was a good idea? I would have ignored production like Ariana did because it did. Because I also remember, I'm like, Tom Sandoval can't be easier to work with. I'm like, isn't he always late? Isn't he a diva? Isn't he a ridiculous person? You all really wanted to follow production's lead on like siding with that man. They really blew it. I'm pretty sure Sheena is crying in the comment section, but I wish, yes, girl, reach out to Ariana, make that better for your sake, because Lala will turn on you too, to be honest.
Lala will turn on you. And when Ariana is no longer on the show, if there is still a show, Lala's going to look around in the room and see, who do I have left? And I honestly sort of don't begrudge her for that, because I understand her reasoning for wanting the show to continue. I think most people, if not every single person in that cast, needs the show to continue or their role to continue in some way. It's everyone's biggest paycheck. And although I don't know how much Love Island is paying, like, I feel like that's probably like a decent amount. But regardless, it's like I have empathy for Sheena, but I'm not going to write her a blank check. And I feel like with Sheena, that's kind of what the options are at this point. Either she's like a doe in the wood or some sort of just, I don't know, like, dumb piece of shit. Like, I just think that there has to be something in the middle there. But I do think it's like I have sympathy and empathy for her. I do also think, and I think she was trying to make the show work, that she was being told or decided that the Sandoval redemption was the way to make the show work. And I also think there's going to be a reaction to that. And there is a little bit of a suspended reality here of people doing this thing because they want the show to work. Obviously, the audience is going to revolt to a certain extent. They're going to have aspects of the audience are going to take major issue with those actions, and then you're expecting the audience to just fall in line. Like, it's not our fault that this was the option presented to you or the option you created. I don't need to support it just because I watched the show. And it's not really fair that it feels like that is what is being offered. And also Lala's reasoning for it, of just like the way that she's attacking members of the audience and saying that we're all fucking idiots and that we're not being honest or real is just frustrating. But that's also a mess that in many ways she helped create.
The idea of that woman calling anybody stupid is ridiculous, because she's not as sharp as she thinks she is. Like, just because you had a cute little phrase on a sweatshirt does not mean you are a genius. You prove that every day when you open your mouth. But I only know the name Alex Baskin, but I need to look more at the credits. I'm assuming mostly men are at the top of the production thing, because like, this feels very, is it?
I'm so glad you said that, because I've been thinking this in my head for literal months, and I don't know if I've ever said it on the podcast, which means I've probably said it 13 times. But the thing with, I was just reading something, I think it was Andy's like Hollywood Reporter thing, where he was talking about the fact that Housewives are feminist shows and like we're focusing on women. I get all of that. Like we can have a conversation about it, but at the end of the day, who's leading these productions? Like, who's behind the scenes working on, I know the executive producer of Watch What Happens Live is a woman and she's a girl boss, like obsessed with her. But I also wonder, with day to day, who are the people working on these shows? And while I love gay men and I so am so appreciative for the fact that gay men are a huge part of the audience, I love that. Gay men can still be misogynist. Women can also be misogynist. Women can also be sexist. Like, people forget that at points, especially in the ways that some of us try to define feminism to use as a weapon against someone else. Like, there are many different areas and levels to this, but I do think it's interesting that these stories that are majority women being told are very often produced by men.
Yes, I mean, a gay man can be the worst. I almost cursed out. I try not to tweet, but I literally almost cursed out a man for making some joke about the video that we did Puffy and Cassie of.
Oh God, that just dropped today.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
It is, but I saw a gay man make some really flippant comment, and just people's brains have melted. They just want to get traction. But to your point, like, you, that's why I asked, because only men are dumb enough to think this was the move and to lead them this way. Because to me, the show would have been so much more interesting if the women banded together more. We saw more of that. We saw them dating. We saw them healing. Maybe they have disagreements about certain things. Fine. Go out, have fun. Kind of like the latter years to me were better when they were all doing that. And then forcing the men on this show to grow up, as opposed to Brock, of all people, trying to tell someone about rage and how to heal. And I don't want to take this left, but on the reunion where they're like crying, thanking Brock, like, for being like a good dad to Summer Moon, I'm also thinking like, I get it on some level, but for my biggest reaction was mostly, don't applaud a man for doing his responsibilities as a father. And if I'm not mistaken, which I can imagine why they didn't bring it up, is the reason that his children don't want to speak with him is because he allegedly put hands on their mother on top of not paying child support. I'm not saying he hasn't gone to therapy, he hasn't dealt with his anger, I don't know, but from my understanding, that was the big issue with him. So maybe he's a different person in that sense, but the way he spoke to Kay, the way he spoke to Ariana, the way both of them had to repeatedly check him this season about that, gives me kind of Neanderthal in the mind. Yes, I like his haircut. He has a big ass, I get it, Andy, but... And then just funny, with what he will say on the show, it's blockhead territory. He probably got his notes from a producer. And then on the after show, when he's next to James, from the clips I've seen, James will be swat that away and he'll be like, yeah, you're right, because he did this. I'm like, bro, him and Sheena make sense in that respect. But I did feel odd when they were all like boo-hooing about him being a dad. I'm like, there's a reason your kids don't want to speak with you. And it might not be our business because they're not on the show, but there's a big misogynistic vibe from him as well. Same with Schwartz. He was the true villain. Sandoval is just the most vocal. All the men are horrible.
I don't know if this is true, and I really don't have any feedback about it. I have no thoughts. I have no opinion. But is it true that one of his kids in Australia is named Winter Sky?
I did not know that.
And they named his child Summer Moon?
That is, oh my gosh, that is white Brian McKnight stuff. Brian McKnight has three adult children, acts like they were never born, has a new wife and new kids, and has moved on. I mean, Brock isn't like that evil, but there's a parallel between Summer Moon, Winter Sky. I didn't know that. That, you know what, Sheena would do that. I thought it was something like, I don't know why I thought of something else. Oh no, what's going on with Brock? Oh, and also he needs a job because he needs something to do.
He does need a job. Sheena is trying desperately to give him this job.
No.
I do want to applaud him. I do want to applaud him to see how he has grown with this child, but it shouldn't require what he did and the damage he did to his family to achieve that. And there is something to be said for like getting a fucking parade for parenting that men get that women don't. It's the thing of like when, you know, let's say in a heteronormative heterosexual relationship, like mom goes out at night and dad is home babysitting the kids. It's not babysitting when they are your fucking goddamn mm-hmm. kids. It's like that same thing. So I totally get and I agree with what you're saying about like applauding him for the bare minimum. But I also think there's some nuance here, especially with like what Katie said, the way that she was mm-hmm. affected. I don't want to take away from that because like, it's not really an example of normalizing change of your mind based on new information, but I think there's something to be said for recognizing growth.
That's fair.
And noting that there's some stuff there with the way that men are treated and applauded differently than women. There's some stuff there too.
That's fair. Based on what Katie said, I get it in that context, but when everyone started crying, I was like, what? Okay. But, and I will say he said consequences have, actions have consequences, something to that effect about the relationship with his previous kid. So maybe he does acknowledge something went wrong. So I'll say that to him, but he does seem like a really active father. I'll give him that with this child anyway.
But
based on how he spoke to Katie and Ariana, particularly about their dealings with Sandoval, I hope that as he continues to evolve as a father and a man, he elevates his still what I find to be sexist point of views about certain things. I just really did not like how he spoke with Katie, particularly when they were in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I was like, unlike you in that instance, she's defending your wife. Because when he threw that scarlet letter back on Sheena, which was so fucked up, because that is an entirely different situation. I don't encourage violence, but you don't talk to my wife like that. Like you're not speaking to my spouse in that way. Like that was like, you got to get out of that situation and then turn around with Kate. He still needs to elevate his thinking just a little bit, but he's trying. I'll give him that. He's trying. That's the only other man I can be nice to on the show. And that's bare minimum because I'm still mad at Schwartz. We'll get to him though, for sure.
Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important. And so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code AndysGirls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code AndysGirls. It's good as gold. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2 gram net carb Hero Croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads, juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it, so there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss, and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Row, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/AndysGirls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's RODOTCO/AndysGirls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Row-affiliated healthcare provider.
Before we get to Schwartz, I do want to get your thoughts on, do you have a New York Times subscription? Were you able to?
Oh, I read that article. I do have a subscription. They make me mad sometimes, but I keep it. I get it.
Yeah, same. And sometimes they're like, the New York Times, I used to do print, but then I was like, why are you fucking doing this? You never read the print. You always go online. You're doing print because you think you live in New York City and you're supposed to get a newspaper on Sunday morning, but you're not picking it up. You're just wasting paper. It's bad for the environment, including the one in your brain. You're online only. You're an online only girly. Know yourself.
When I lived in New York, I did that. I was like, oh, I should have the Sunday. Didn't pick it up. I read that article. Lala did a lot of work in trying to defend him because that is, not, first of all, yes, there is Ukraine and other shit going on, but it's a news organization that has a 24-hour cable news network and like the biggest news site in the world. Yeah, they have an entertainment section, dude. Like, you were part of that. You weren't like breaking news. Wolf Blitzer and Anderson were not talking about you. Neither was Caitlin Collin. None of those people. Shut up. The George Floyd thing and O.J. Simpson just... I remember reading when clearly they were like, actually, you can't come to this thing anymore because the network stepped in. That is sometimes to me like treating these grown men like children. I'm like, have y'all met him? Did you not think he was going to say something stupid? Have you not found himself aggrandizing? Was that Howie Mandel interview not proof enough that he should have real adult supervision whenever he opens his mouth for the sake of the show? I remember reading that at the time. I wasn't like angry, but I was irritated by, I was not amused, is not the best way. It was one of those like, I laughed, like, how can you be this fucking idiotic? How did you not know? How did you let this fly out of your mouth? But he doesn't strike me as someone that thinks much about anything, much less about maybe like racial sensitivity. But literally, it's like also the two examples you brought up were Black. It was George Floyd, who was murdered by the police, and O.J. Simpson, the alleged killer. Why were those your two points? I was like, what's going on in that head of yours? Also, yeah, I did read that article, though. Even before those quotes, it was not a good look for him either. Like, the entire feature he got was like, oh, this bitch ain't learned. Like, this is literally the whole, like, no, he's learned nothing. He's just happy to be there because it's attention on him finally.
I really need to check because I have done Reading Rainbow episodes. I know I did one about Bethany New York Magazine because that was like the most fun I've ever had recording an episode, was just reading like cottage cheese paranoia out loud. And I know I did one for like Heather Gay's Variety piece. But I don't know if I did one for that piece. And it's so good because, as Andy said, this was so bad for you. It wasn't the poll quote. It was the narrative. It was like, how he became the most, I mean, he was the most hated man in America for many Americans, and God bless him for that. But like, the whole thing was like, this man is not here with us right now. And as you said, after Howie Mandel and everything else, the fact that, I mean, shout out to Riley. I hope someone bought her a candle, because what bless she had heart. To go through, you know, she got blamed for this.
Yes.
And to sit him down with a 23-year-old junior comms or comms person on his team when he is sitting down with the New York Times, and you know, you should know who your client is. If he's hiring someone for crisis comms, you're sitting him down with this, like, I'm sure lovely young woman, but someone who says at the beginning of the interview she started watching Vanderpump Rules in middle school and like had questions for him about the plot. She's asking him questions as he's being interviewed. You just, if I was Tom, I would be wondering what it was that I was paying for, and maybe you should budget more. Maybe give his mom a call, because I guess she's just the bank that keeps on coming. It's just nonstop ATM withdrawals over there.
Okay, wait, can I ask? So, she's made peace.
No, she
quote
has
unquote.
Not. He has made peace. He has made peace with not paying back his mother ever. That's how peace works for Tom.
I'm like, everyone's blaming Ariana, but like, there is your person that is crashing all the businesses and the money, the train. Like, Schwartz and Sandy's, Tom is still fine. Their drinks are good. And they don't own but a little bit. But I didn't go for a while because I was upset. A friend brought me, yes. Yeah, I didn't want to support him or the other Tom. No, 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 no. If I'm in gay land, we're going to go somewhere else. But yeah, I'm like, did no one read Ariana's New York Times story? That feature was fantastic, but she knew what she was getting into. But literally, he lives a state of delusion and detachment, and again, requires adult supervision. I cannot. That article was so embarrassing. I bet he doesn't talk to anyone again for like at least 3 years.
But that's the thing that I love, is when there's a journalist for these major publications, and again, I have to shout out New York Magazine and The Cut and The New York Times, when you staff a reporter who's a Bravo-holic, it's just, it's so important. It's like the level of sincerity and of like winks to us. It's just talk about being well-read. It's just it's so important to have someone like, I believe it was Irina Alexander who wrote that piece. It was just such a scathing, fun takedown. It's one of those things that I don't think Tom could understand, which makes me love it even more. It was a wonderful read. A wonderful, wonderful read.
I feel like someone who actually had learned something from all of this, had engaged in even random acts of humility, it would have, the hook would have still been the same, but it would have been a more favorable thing if he actually had the capacity to both read a New York Times article or any article in full, but also not be an arrogant, entitled jackass who has not learned anything. The writing was great, though. That's why I keep my subscription for stuff like that.
Honestly, they got me with that. And also, I was befuddled about the fact that, like, a single episode after Anne was introduced, she got a feature in the Times. I was like, okay, maybe we went one step too far with this because she just had a viral moment and she's getting interviewed with the Times. Saw the success of their stuff and they're like, we're gonna go all in. Also, that's the whole thing with them going national and it being national, all these national outlets. Bravo can't be the only network or the only major entity corporation to monetize this.
Yeah.
Like the New York Times, CNN, whomever else, as you said, there are entertainment sections. They're also going to be on the homepage because they know this sells. So maybe let's stop talking about this stuff as a guilty pleasure and start talking about it as a huge fucking money machine.
Yes. And typically it's an honor to get that type of profile instead of complaining about there are bigger other shit out there. I'm like, if you felt that way, you wouldn't have said yes.
Well, I don't think he was saying other. Oh, yeah. Like, you're right. Why aren't they covering other things? I can't with Tom. And I'll never forget going to that concert. I'll never forget it. Going to a mid-Scandoval, Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras. I felt like I left my body.
There is no way that could have been great. He literally has no, he has not a musical talent in his body. Yes, but I'm sure it was a great time to watch someone that unaware do his expensive karaoke. Shout out to the band.
What is it that you, what was that little morsel you just placed a couple of moments ago about all things Schwartz? I want to hear your thoughts on Schwartzy.
Okay. I know he's a villain because the friend that put me on a VPR has never liked Schwartz or either Tom. But I did always see like, well, you know, Schwartz is like that dorky, cute, adorable stuff. And I have had some, like, he clearly helped Tom cheat. But I did have sympathy for him once I got caught up in all the podcast ways that he had a sick brother, a sick father, taking care of his mom. That's a lot of financial responsibilities on top of like losing people. I lost my mom to cancer recently. It all happened so fast last year. So I had empathy for him and understood that. Now, I don't particularly like Joe. I don't hate her, but I will say I'm on Katie's side about that. That text was weird. You clearly were looking for him. You just were waiting for your moment. So you should have never bothered to send the text. You should have just did what you did. That said, I didn't intend to, but I randomly saw a clip of her live posted. Now, I keep saying bless her heart, but literally, blessed Lord. She is not built for reality TV. I don't think she should be there. Even when the clip I saw, she was trying to explain herself and it was going all places. And then she kept having to tell people, she's like, you guys, it's not a herpes bump. It's my makeup or something she was saying. And I was like, oh no, leave this woman alone. And it was like, I wasn't watching last, it was already, I got embarrassed for her. I say all that to say like, Schwartz gaslit her. I'm like, we didn't see it all on camera, but I absolutely believe. And he's kind of squirmed around it in that very Schwartz. I don't know. I fucked her over. I don't know, but look at me. It's like, no, you knew what you were doing. You used her probably for a plot. You probably used her just for sex. You all had this relationship. You took advantage of it. And now you have her looking out here crazy. And she's going to not be able to live that down. And I do worry, can she handle that? Like, I hope that she has some friends that can tell her, one, to stop doing lives. You do not owe people anything. This is not going to end well for you because you're not built for it in that way. Lala can handle this.
She can.
Even Sheena, to a degree, might throw her phone, but she'll pick it back up and find something positive, like a puppy video. I don't know. I don't know about Joe. I'm worried. And I just think it really was just generally shitty of him to treat her like that. And then maybe, I mean, she wanted to be on the show. I'm like, another not really your friend. You just were something to do. And I hate that for her because she's clearly struggling with, one, being rejected in that way. Because that scene where she's like, I gotta call my dad, I felt so bad for her. I was like, you don't belong on, this is not any, you should, no one should have to deal with that, but not on television and not when it's obvious you can't handle it. So I felt, I felt bad for Schwartz about what he was dealing with, you know, last year, but that does not excuse just shitty behavior. Because also, like, you guys are like in your 40s. Y'all are still on this same bullshit, which I guess is, if that's your choice, but I didn't like it. And then trying to, like, Katie don't want you. I do believe Katie, though. Like, he is going to see very soon, probably he already does. He doesn't want to admit it yet. You let her go. You're going to regret that. You're going to regret, because Katie is great. She's going to move on. I do remember the Tequila Katie, Mean Katie, a lot of that those critiques were warranted. But she also seems like she's mature. I just think, really speaking, you can tell who's matured more on the show than others. And, you know, millennial middle-age mess can be very entertaining. It is on The Valley. But it's just something about the way it's presented on Vanderpump with the pretense, with Lisa still acting like she's some fake-ass Mrs. Garrett and there's no real connection with her. And she's mostly still just taking shots at the women because she's a hater. It's like, it's not enjoyable. But Schwartz in particular, I'm like, you could be better by now. And this whole idea of wanting to move in with Tom, if you don't grow the fuck up and just find another place to rent for a while and balance your life, like, what do you mean? He's also wasting his cuteness because it was going away for a while. Like, you were drinking too much. Figure it out. Because he has a young girlfriend now, right? Which which is typical of that genre of man. It is very typical. And one day that young woman will probably wise up and run away from him too because he's a mess.
Also, Sandoval saying when Andy or somebody was like, didn't your girlfriend date Leo? And he was like, that was a long time ago. I'm thinking to myself, isn't this girl in her 20s? Like, we're talking about a long time ago. She doesn't have a long time ago. This is all so skeevy to me. It is. Not that an older man dating a younger woman is LA specific, but this particular dynamic to me reeks LA in a way that I'm like, no, I don't. I don't like this. I'm not into this even a little bit.
Now I'm back in LA. Yes, that is very particular. I know because I can imagine somebody hollering at me. Like, there might be instances where, you know, men are dumber and it might actually work in terms of balance, late 20s or late whatever, but not in that situation. Those are like skeezy men who are using their fame. And no, I don't like it. And I do really feel bad for Joe. I hope she doesn't come back. For her sake, to be honest.
I think she wants this to work, but I think she's trying to recognize that it probably won't. It probably also doesn't help matters that seemingly her only close friend associated with Bravo is Rachel. Like, then that also does add to the question of how was it that you thought that this was going to work out if your best friend is on a campaign saying about how toxic and unhealthy, like, all things Bravo were, and that she had no role in anything pertaining to the Scandoval affair. Like, that's going to be a tough argument to make with us, let alone yourself. But you did reference one of her Instagram lives, and I did see a video the other day, and I can't remember the details of it, but I reposted it. And it was somebody posted, I was just like, Joe just kind of like laying it all on the line. She's talking honestly about, it's like several minutes long, couple minutes long at least. She's talking maybe like 3 minutes long. She's talking about reunion stuff, you know, Schwartz stuff. Katie was maybe right, blah, 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 blah. She's going down the rabbit hole. And in the last 5 seconds, she says, "This is the longest cameo I've ever recorded." And it cut to black. And I was like, I was shaken. Cause you know, nowhere in there was like a happy anniversary, happy birthday, like hope you have a great first day at work, like congrats on moving into your new spot. Like it was like, I didn't know that a cameo could also be a live journal, but it just took me. I was so shocked because it was just like, I'll repost it again. But just shout out to whoever posted originally, because I literally commented and was like, this is a cameo, because I waited.
That is my reaction. I saw part of that video. I didn't know it was a cameo. I thought it was a live.
Because she's also done lives too. So I thought it was a live. And then it's just like the last couple seconds is her just being like, this is the longest cameo, cut to black. Like it was just... so shocking. Like I really lost it. But you know, shout out to someone who, you know, does more than maybe the actual job. You know, if hairstyling doesn't work out for her, I don't actually know that cameos are gonna work out for her either, but she's here. And we will see more of her next week. Listen, Michael Arsenault, I could talk to you literally forever about Vanderpump Rules. This was such a magical episode, but we do need to shift a little bit into another area that we are about to deep dive. In the meantime, can you tell the AGs and tippers a little bit about your newest book, where they can buy it? Are there any more autographed copies available, by the way?
If you're in New York, there might be some autographed copies left at the Strand. I think the ones I did in Houston are gone. There may be some in DC at Politics and Prose, but the book is wherever books are sold. It's my latest essay collection. It's a little bit darker because I'm dealing with a lot of grief, not excluding what happened with my mom. But the first chapter is called Please Unblock Me, Toni Braxton. So I promise that it is a lot of levity. So I really hope people can check it out. People that have bought it have been really kind about the book. It was very rock bottom when I wrote it, but people are laughing and crying, so that the former feels better than the latter. But you know, if you want to laugh, if you want to think, and if you want to feel less alone about how nuts the plague was and how it impacted you, I'm there. So thank you, Sarah. This is so much fun.
Well, you know that I think your voice, and everyone knows this, that your voice is incredibly singular. You have the ability to make us laugh and cry. Crying is not a bad thing. It is an important thing. It's a sign of your talent that we are so connected to your voice and your life and your experiences. And I just couldn't more highly recommend that people buy it, that people read it. I'm so thrilled to own the trilogy. I also had the pleasure of going to one of your book signings in New York City for I Finally Bought Some Jordans, and that was also a fantastic night. So I just couldn't more highly recommend it. I think you're so incredibly talented, and I'm so thankful that you come on this social experiment, also known as a pod now and again, because this is just such a goddamn delight. I love it. I love it so much.
It's been too long, as always. Thank you so much for having me. I love talking with you.
In the meantime, tell the AGs and tippers where they can follow you on social.
Even though the name no longer applies, Young, spelt the regular way, S-I-N-I-C-K, that's Young Cynic. It's a blog era name that it will stick with me until forever. But yes, and that's everywhere except TikTok, which you don't want to follow me there. I'm not doing anything.
People keep telling me the only time I ever thought for 2 seconds about doing it was when, like, maybe, I don't know what's going to happen with TikTok, but like the idea that like maybe it's going away. That's the only time that I was like, oh, now I might be interested, because I am a nightmare. But I like counter culture when it comes to social media. But TikTok, shout out to the TikTokers. I know that I'm missing out. I can't add something to my life, but I will. I probably won't, but I might. I might do it.
I will say I joined really late. I didn't join out of fear of some of the reasons it might be blocked, but I thought, you know what? The CCPR probably already has my info anyway. And the algorithm is so good at stalking me. It's really good at feeding me what I need. So including Bravo content. So it's like people of every race, ethnicity, bopping to some song and dancing. Trader Joe's food and Bravo stuff. So it's perfect for me.
Oh God, I'm gonna end up goddamn joining it. I just don't think I would post it. I'm not like
I'm not posting
in that way. I don't know. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, I am on Instagram where you can follow me at Dame Galley as well as Allegedly Threads and sign up for the Andy's Girls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and there will be a Satchel Spectacular up this weekend. So join the AG Patreon. You get to access those bonus episodes and I love reading and unpacking your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor for holiness, Kelly Cloran, Ben Simone. So keep those coming. DM me your thoughts on Vanderpump Rules, Valley, Jersey, other stuff. Let me know how you're feeling and they may be featured on an upcoming Patreon episode. Again, patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Michael Arsenault, a pleasure as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
All right, guys, thanks for listening and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.